Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday on this beautiful April 17th. And I just want to thank you for being here, because actually, as you receive the blessings of God into your life, they flow into the lives of others that perhaps don't have the faith or the strength to yet believe that the source of our creation always sustains us and always offers us better answers. And so for you to receive the blessing is often the first step for someone else to indirectly receive the blessing for the earth and all of mankind to be further blessed, because we are one community. We do share one heart, and we share one great, huge collective responsibility for evolving our consciousness to the point that we really can be truly caretakers of the earth and live in our bliss. That has been the promise, and I fully believe that the promise is being fulfilled in moments such as this. And every day when the Holy Spirit touches us, when Yeshua comes into our life, or we feel the presence of God walking through nature, or in any other venue of sacred spirituality that we may practice, whenever we feel that divine connection, we are building a link. Even if it's only a baby step, we are building a link toward the world we all aspire to be in, a world that is free from war and free from disease that strikes us down in the prime of our life, free from destructive intentions and all of the other negative encounters that we run into and then step back from, like a snake bite that leaves us mystified and wondering, well, how can this be God's world? How did I get into this situation where all of a sudden something so undesirable and so unpredictable is happening to me? Well, actually, we live in a universe that has many, many levels of survival potential that are designed to drive life upwardly. And if you think about the life that, well, shall we say, a fly lives on the verge of any moment being captured by a bird in a bird's beak or getting stuck in a spider web. And the earthworms are constantly on the verge of either being flooded out or chopped in two by a shovel, not intentionally, but it happens, or used for fishing bait, and so on it goes. If you think of the quasars of the universe, there are levels of this universe that could actually be really accurately described as violent. But we as children of God and all organic life forms are moving upwardly out of the levels of violence that seem to be necessary for the universe's creation of the basic elements that sustain us. And so God, in his or her great wisdom, is allowing creation to be all that it needs to be, but cherishing all of the forces of love to move upwardly every step, every day, another step, upwardly, 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 to where we are more fulfilled by the love that we are. We are more fulfilled in the love that is being provided for us to move upwardly. It's imperative that we do. It's imperative that only if by making a positive decision every day or deciding to smile instead of frown, we make that choice. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. And that is further, how do we to take this message further? How do we receive the blessings of God that are being given to us through the forces of love at all times if we would only have the faith to receive? This is what Yeshua would bracket all of his blessings by. He would invite people to receive blessings by their faith, and then when they were healed or turned in a new and better direction, or they found what they were looking for, he would remind them that it is by your faith that you were made whole. And I don't mean to judge you by saying you have little faith. You obviously have great faith or you wouldn't be here. And I think it takes great faith just to live in a world that is so full of trouble. Probably what we need to do more of is to really affirm, validate, congratulate, and endorse even the meager amounts of faith we see in people. Because it's so important that everyone learn the secret of faith and its role in receiving greater blessings. And when we see someone hurting, instead of saying, oh, ye of little faith, just think to yourself and find a way of saying to that other person, just think, if it were not by your faith, how much worse things could be. Look around you and think how much better things will be as your faith grows. You see, there's a magic, there's a miracle in the way we word our thoughts, not to mention word the voices that emerge from our mouth, but even our thoughts have a language. Even our thoughts have a special language that helps us to form our expectations. And as we form our expectations, that helps to really, really expand and apply our faith toward more receivership. Last week we talked about how sometimes we just don't define love big enough. It's just entirely too small. And we brought up another subject last week that I want to continue with this week. After we open up for a little bit of sharing, I want to get back to this subject. Not only do we define love too small, what do I mean by that? Well, we define love as the things we like, the things we admire, the people we admire, the things we want to have in our life, the things we cherish, and then the things we don't like, we say, I can't stand that. Or, no, I don't want to have that. But, you see, it's directed toward things, or it's directed toward feelings, or toward people, or even toward possessive attitudes, or dispossessive attitudes, as the case may be. And so we define love by adding definitions on it, when really, love is too big to define. Love is its own power that can bring us new and greater solutions in life. And I told you about the story of the little fly. Well, I want to expand on that just a little bit, because we need to talk about the bigness of love just a little bit more and how we language our communications with love so that it can be as big for us as we need it to be. Okay? Now, with that introduction, I'm going to take a look and see if anybody on the call has asked for a question. I don't see a single one. Well, doggone it, you know how it is, 5-star. Remember, 5 comes first and then star afterwards. So if anybody would like to share or give a testimonial, and while I'm waiting for people to be on the call, I have 2 very, very important announcements to make. One is we now officially have reserved our space for our summer seminar for the Christ Blessing, and that is July 30th and 31st. If you feel a calling to be here, please go ahead and make your application letter. We need an application letter from you because it is a responsibility to offer these blessings, and you do not have to be an ordained minister or a healer, but I do need to know that you've had some time, shall we say, walking the path of getting out of your own way on behalf of others. that you've had, maybe you learned this teaching first grade. Maybe you learned this working in the as a patrol officer. I don't know how you would have learned it. There are many, many ways to learn to get out of your own way on behalf of others. But you see, that's something that is its own pathway. And we don't have a long enough time in the seminar to take care of that plus give you the protocol. So I need to know that you have spent enough time in your life, whether it's teaching, counseling, working for others. Maybe you learned this being a waitress. Maybe you literally, I have encountered some of the wisest people in the world who've learned to listen and serve others and really be there for others. But I need to know in that application that you have arrived at that level of responsibility, because you really do have to surrender your all aspects of personality to be here and to be this conduit for Christ on behalf of others. So send me a letter, care@spiritus.org, or if you want to send a hard copy letter, send it to Glenda Green, Post Office Box 239, Sedona, Arizona, 86339. And I look forward to getting your letter, and please don't wait. We already have enrollments, and we absolutely can only accommodate 100 people. That's it, the room and the restaurant and the banquet facilities. I mean, we practically had people hanging off the ceilings last time because we budged on the rule, and I think we had 102. So we are going to cut it at 100 people. That's the first announcement. The second announcement is all of you who are really, really just interested in receiving a blessing and you'd like to have a personal blessing, well, our blessing givers are signing in and getting connected on our Christ Blessing Facebook site. That's an open public site, and you can find it by going to our new website, ChristBlessing.org. And you'll see the big Facebook emblem there. Just click it. It will take you to our Facebook, Christ Blessing Facebook group. Actually, you don't need to join to read the postings there. So if you don't want to join, you can still read everything that's posted. But if you want to contribute and post, then you need to join. Okay. But what you're going to be seeing in the near future is some of our blessing givers will be posting where they are, where they will be giving private blessings or personal live blessings, whether it's Hartford, Connecticut, Reno, Nevada, Sacramento, California, where we have blessing givers now all over. So if you want to connect with someone in your local region, that would be a great way to find who you're looking for. Okay? So now I'm going to take, I think we've got a couple of questions. I'm going to take the first one from area code 256, and you're on.
Yes, Glenda, my name is Raul Mejia.
Hello, Raul.
I had the pleasure of appearing in your doorstep back in the year 2002.
Yes, I remember you. How are you doing?
How are you doing? I just want to know that was a great moment in my life. It was a blessing, and I've been listening to your blessing as often as I can on Sundays, and I thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I truly appreciate that. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we'll take a call from area code 310, and you're on. Hello. Hi.
Hi. My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, from Los Angeles. And I want to thank you so much for these. They're such a blessing, to use that word. There's something that I've been reading the books that you have for years, and they're my main sort of source of teaching. And something that I'm hoping you can give clarity on that is involving love is I seem to have a difficult time releasing love, like whether it's just a friend that you move on and one person goes to college here and one person goes to college there, or a romantic love, or a love of an animal even that passes. And I don't think anything touches me more deeply than when I see love. And I remember a story that you told in the book about the two little stones.
Mm-hmm.
You told about the two little stones that, for love's sake, they mm-hmm. were next to each other, and then he had them go on kind of different adventures to expand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering if you could give some more clarity about how to embrace the letting go of something that this seems like it's, on some level I know it never ends, but there's a sadness in having to end in that time.
I really do appreciate that and totally agree with you as this being a major human problem. And it really gets back to the major theme I want to discuss today. Pardon me. Which has to do with our need for letting love be bigger. Love becomes so small for us. We see it as an attachment that exists only by a limited definition. And when that definition changes, we think the love has been damaged. An example that I will give you, which I'm sure everyone will experience in their own way with someone in their life. It had to do with the passing of my mother. When my mother's time to go came about, it was very sudden. We were not expecting it, although she was 93 years old, so it was not untimely. I was in Arizona, she was in Texas, and I didn't have time to travel to be there. And we knew that her passing would be within hours. And so I went to a place where I could watch the sunset and just look at the sunset, but also I was on a mountaintop where I could face eastward looking back to where she was. And I reached out. This was about 6:30 at night, our time, which was later where she was. I reached out because I wanted to touch the earth for the last time when she would be on this earth in physical form. And just at that moment, this voice came in my ears. It wasn't anything that was externally audible, but I think it came through my heart. And she said, "Don't look for me there.
Wow.
I am now in a better place. And I will always be with you."
Mm.
And in the many grief counselings that I have conducted with people through the years, I find that the transition for those left behind is as significant as the transition of the one who left, because both parties are experiencing transition to a larger definition of love. And this has happened to me with my beloved animals. They'll go and I'll miss the fact that I can hug them. And then one day, suddenly, I'm aware that they're there. And they have been part of redefining love as an expanded understanding and expanded experience. And I think all of life has to embrace love as constantly expanding. When we have a friend, a childhood friend we grow up with, and you go one way, she goes off to college in another way, and you lose touch for a while, but then you reconnect later, you bring new experiences together, and how rewarding it is to sit around, you know, the coffee table and compare stories and think about how much fun you had as a child, but then how much more you now have to offer. And that seems to be the pathway of life. If we understand this as expanding the definition of love, then it becomes an experience of personal transformation. If we embrace it as breaching our experience of love, then it hurts. And so I think it's an aspect of maturity that we finally come to when we make the choice that all that I do in this life, let it be an expansion of my understanding of love. And I hope that helps. I hope it guides you and helps to heal the hurt. Because if we limit the definition of love, when love moves into an expanded zone, it can very, very much hurt. And thanks for bringing that up. It was a great question, great contribution. I'm going to take one more question, and then I really do have to move into this message. It's not a long message, but it's a powerful one. I have someone from area code 701.
Hello. Glenda, this is Paul in Fargo.
Hello, Paul. It's great to hear from you.
Well, it's great to be on the call here with you, and I've been on quite a few of them and listening. I wanted to tell you how much meaning that had to have that time with you last summer on that chat that we had. It was wonderful.
Oh, great.
Anyways, it has helped me a lot.
Wonderful.
Especially your encouragement with my work situation, and you said something as I'm teaching the fellows that I work with, and they're new, and some of them come from a center for ex-offenders, and they're a little bit tough to deal with because they're real, they know how to control situations.
Mm-hmm.
And you said think about gravity and without attitude. And I have done that in many situations, not only there, and it has worked so well for me to really be able to bring across the presence of my own love that I know I am into the situation and just stick with that. It just works out great.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Paul. And actually, that's another side to the same thing I want to talk about today, and that is loving without attitude. Because when we don't bring limiting definitions of love, we allow love to work.
Yes.
Okay. And with that, actually, I want to thank you so much, Paul, and for your expressions of appreciation. I always enjoy our time together also as fellow artists. I want to use that as a leaping off point to our discussion today, and I realize we have several other questions, but it is so important to make this point, and if we have time after I make it, I'll take a couple more questions, so we'll just have to let it be that way. This gets back to languaging. Everything has its own language, including love. And if we, let me give you, start with just a very simple story. If you went to a place in Mexico that did not speak English, you would have a hard time traveling if you didn't speak Spanish. The same would be true if you went to Italy and you didn't speak Italian, or Germany and you didn't speak German, although I'm certainly limiting the culture of Europe, considering that most countries in Europe are multilingual. But let's just say you went to a little village or a hotel where no one spoke anything but German. You'd be pretty limited if you didn't speak it. And so I want to open up for you a little bit more about the language of love, because we try to speak the language of love as we've defined it, as our meaning of what love looks like. And I want to take you back to a little childhood experience I had, which was really the beginning of, I would say it was the pivotal moment when I began to become a little baby philosopher. Not as if I would ever be a professional philosopher, but as you know, I couldn't do the work I do. I couldn't write or teach or be in this work if I didn't have some philosophical ability. I was standing up. My mother was shopping in the pharmacy, and she asked me it was in the summer, so she didn't want to leave me in the car. We didn't have air-conditioned cars at that time. So she asked me to stand at the parking meter and hold on to it while she was in the pharmacy. And I was kind of treating the parking meter like a maypole. I was sort of swinging around it like little kids do. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, I wonder if I didn't call it a parking meter, if it would still be a parking meter. It was the beginning of a thought form where that was my first time of really addressing the independence of language to the thing itself. First time I ever considered that, and then, boy, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I wondered if I called it anything else, if it would still be a parking meter. And I started calling it other things, and I found it's still a parking meter. And so I called it a dog, and it was still a parking meter. And then I mean, it was a major, major realization of for a little girl. I was about 3 years old. This is when I began to grasp the abstract nature of language, and that language is actually originated from within our consciousness to create an analog model for things we experience in life or see in life. And I began to apply that to other less tangible things that we see or experience in life. And I began to realize that, wow, this language deal, this language business is a pretty tricky business. Boy, something shows up in our life, not so much because of what it is, but because of what we call it. Wow, holy cow, fried potatoes. Yeah. I'm sorry to give you all my Texasisms, but this is what I was realizing as a little child, and that is that what we call something can sometimes be more powerful than the thing it is. And this, of course, led to more and more thinking about this and to being, in my teenage years, quite the little poet, and to being able to be a writer that long before I ever wrote a book, my teachers and professors were telling me I should be a writer. Well, I didn't think so because I didn't really embrace any professional applications for writing. But it was a talent I had that was cultivated from the fact that I understood language itself had a power and a meaning. And the way we put the words together, the syntax, can shape the way we think about things. So I want to get back now, having said that as a preface. I want to get back to my little story about the fly last week, where you may have, just to bring you up, I had this special little experience with a little baby fly that shared a moment or two of painting a painting with me. And I'm sure he flew off thinking he had truly influenced the life of a human being, and I thought I had truly influenced the life of a fly. But I had, now maybe he has the greater ability to think independent thoughts too. I don't know. But I know I certainly did because I caught myself in the middle of trying to possess that experience. You see, I started to be possessive over that experience thinking, gee, through love, I have affected the life of a little fly possibly forever. And then I caught it. I caught my possessiveness. And I started to laugh because I realized that love had influenced the life of both of us. Love being its own independent force, bigger than anything I could imagine or define, bigger than anything the fly could imagine or define, had come into the life of both of us. And it, through its language, had influenced the life of both of us. Now, after that, I solved my problem of how to deal with insects that get in the house in a friendly way. Yeshua had told me years ago that you could handle unwanted visitors in the house with love. But see, I was having a problem because if I would love the flies, I would attract the flies. And then if I would kill the flies, I would be violating my own definition of love. And so it was a sticky wicket. It was a conundrum of the highest potential. How do I get out of this? And so I would try to love the flies outdoors, but then I was manipulating love. And the flies would try to manipulate me in return. See, this is what happens with us. If we try to manipulate love, we get manipulated back, because love doesn't like to be manipulated. And if you've ever tried to manipulate your children with love, just watch them turn around and manipulate you. They'll do it every time. Anybody else in your life, a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, you just try to manipulate them with love. Love will show you who's the boss. Love will turn right back around and give you a mirror image. So what's the answer? What's the answer then? Well, my experience with the little fly taught me. And that is that I communicate with love directly. Directly. I treat love as if love is the bride of God. And for all I know, she is. I treat love as if it's the Holy Spirit. For all I know, it is. One thing I do know is love has a great power of its own, a great heart, great intention, a greater intention than anything I can see. And so, let's say I have a fly in the house. Instead of focusing love on the fly, I say, love, we need to talk. And so I call love to me, and I say, love, direct me what to do. I will extend my finger and focus on love. And as I focus on love, the flies start swarming around my finger, lining up one by one to land on my finger so that I can escort them out the house. Just last night, I saw this spider in my sink. And she's one of these daddy long-legged spiders that I actually like to have in the house, because she's a friendly spider. She's had many, many daughters, sons and daughters that have lived in my house. And just out of convenience, I call them all Sadie, because I can't tell one from another. So anyway, I saw a new Sadie. And Sadies are good to have, because they take care of the little, let's face it, nature has its own little eco-culture. And Sadie's a good friend to have in the house. And so I saw Sadie in the sink, and I realized if I fill this sink with water, she's not going to know how to swim. So I said, Sadie, come here. Do you want to go to a safe place? And knowing that Sadie would have the natural reaction that all animals would have to the human energy field, the human aroma, and fear a human being, instead of reaching for Sadie, I reached for a paper towel, and I put a paper towel down. And instead of directing my love to Sadie, I directed my love to love. And I said to love, thank you so much for giving me Sadie. Sadie is just lovely. And I put the paper towel down. Sadie crawled on the paper towel. And I carried the paper towel into a part of the house that was safe for Sadie. And I said, love, you know what to do. Love directed Sadie to climb off the paper towel. Okay, see, here's the point. Love knows better than we know about exactly what the solution to problems are. Let's look at this in a I'm running way over time. Oh, my gosh. We do need to offer our blessing, but I want to say this one thing. If you owned a big company, you had a big problem and you wanted to hire somebody to solve this problem, would you hire the person who kept doing the same thing again and again that didn't work? Or would you hire the person who comes in with a new solution, who has a bigger idea that makes you go, oh, wow, why didn't I think of that? Isn't that the person you would hire? Okay, so here's what I want to suggest in our prayers as you pray. Pray for what you want, of course. You know what you want. Your heart knows what you want. God knows what you want. But pray that the solution come in the grandest and best way that love can provide. And open your expectations in life for an answer possibly being bigger than you thought it could be, a little different than you thought it could be, or better than you thought it could be. Obviously, if you could solve your problems, the things that are vexing you, the things that cause you to want and need to pray, if you could solve them with your current definition of workability, your current definition of love, your current definition of how to get results, you'd have already done it. And so we need to just open ourselves up in faith, and this is where faith comes in, to the fact that we are, that love has answers we had not been able to avail ourselves to. That love has possibly new offerings that are greater than anything we could have imagined. And then in the days ahead, open yourself up to little inclinations. Maybe you're inclined, just a simple example. You're inclined to eat apples, and you're in the grocery store, and you're, these pears light up for you, and all of a sudden you decide to eat a pear instead of an apple. Well, that's just a simple example that you could apply to anything in life. Maybe you've been inclined to drive down this street looking for the real estate you want, but there's a traffic jam on that street. Instead of fussing at the traffic jam, decide to take another street, and what you've been looking for may be down that other street. That's just simple, practical examples of what I'm talking about. Let love guide your direction and expand your direction, and be relaxed enough, be joyful enough, expectant enough to follow these little serendipitous intrusions that occur in your life that may be bringing new answers. Okay. Sorry that we went so long on our message, but I thought it was an important one for you to have. And now we do need to move into the blessing, so be sure, have your shoes and socks off, your feet on the ground, because grounding is a very important part of this. Remember, we are part of all levels of life. We are part of the earth. We came from the earth. Our bodies will return to the earth. Yet our souls came from God and will return to God. And all the energetic levels in between are part of us as well. And we are part of the angels. We are part of the forces of life. We are part of it all. So open yourself up to flow all of these energetic dimensions of life. Have your bare feet on the ground. I prefer that you sit standing with your back not formally erect, comfortably erect, but erect enough that the flow of gravity can help to pull all of the subtle levels of energy through you. And that being said, I will begin my prayer to Yeshua, and I would like you to say your prayer for 3 minutes as this energy is pouring through you. And it's not that God didn't hear your prayers without this, but the energy pouring through you will make the answers to your prayers more available to you. It will rain the answers of your prayers more upon you, like sweet dew, sweet nectar that will fill your life, fill your heart, fill your body, the cells of your body. And so be prepared to receive. The energy will be pouring through you as you pray, and that will go on for about 3 minutes. I will tell you when it's over. Then go and rest and assimilate for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Just rest. Just absorb. Be a sponge. Your mind cannot embrace this. Only your heart and the feelings and intuition of your body knows what to do. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with us and leading us through faith to a higher definition of love, to the power of love that is capable of opening our lives up to new solutions, new directions, new blessings, new fulfillment, new friends, new places to be and joy, and all of the answers that we are seeking. Thank you for pouring these blessings upon us and all the opportunities that will bring new blessings in the days ahead as we open ourselves up to receive. We thank you for pouring the Holy Spirit through us as the river of love. We thank you for solidifying and making stronger our connection with our Creator and with the earth, that we feel no separation in any part of our life, that we are able to look at, confront, and resolve the problems of our past, letting go of them, knowing there is a greater definition of love, that we can face the future, knowing that while we can never completely know all of the unknown, that within it there are blessings waiting to happen, and that our future is bringing in even greater blessing than we could ever conceive. And we are part of a greater human community that shall embrace us as we embrace it. Thank you for your love. Amen. The energy transmission is complete. Now go and assimilate. Be in your quietness and feel the love of God. And we'll see you back next week. Bye-bye.